Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
A gorgeous day out here at the ballpark today. I know it's supposed to be warm all weekend long, and it's summertime, and it's baseball, and we've got Giants and Padres. Giants are becoming... they're sort of a pain in the neck with the Padres. The two of them together, the way they play each other, it's just it's sort of an annoying game that comes down to a run or two just about every time. All right, joined by Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you?
Good, Marty. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, the Padres and Giants, they play these games that no one really knocks the other one out. It goes down to the end very annoying fashion. You better play good baseball.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty frustrating. I mean, the Giants make so many errors. They've made almost twice as many as a lot of teams, and it's just so baffling. I mean, just last night, for example, I mean, you know, Stratton is a good fielder. Hundley's a good fielder. Basically, it's a good defensive team. But they keep making errors at the wrong times. You know, they're having trouble against, you know, San Diego's a last-place team. The Marlins are a last-place team, and you got to tighten that up.
Yeah, boy, that's a good point. You know that they lost 4 of 7 to the Marlins, right?
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're 1-1 in this series. You know, these are teams that, you know, if you're serious of staying in this thing, you better start beating the teams you're supposed to beat.
Yeah, and, you know, San Diego getting Will Myers back is huge for them. He's a heck of a hitter. He's done a lot of damage at AT&T Park. And, you know, you just look around, you know, there's all this talk about, well, teams are tanking, teams are horrible, this and that. There isn't a team out there that can't, you know, win 3 out of 4 from you. That's just the way it is, and that's how it should be.
Well, the Austin Slater era begins today. How about that?
Yeah, I'm anxious to see him. He's been tearing it up, I guess, in the minors. I haven't been following him every day, but you know, he's a guy that you definitely wanted to see. Did Williamson go down?
Williamson was sent down. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, the guy made such a splash with his new stance, and he hit a couple of long homers. You think, boy, if he could do this every 3 or 4 days, you're really rolling. But you know, it's he's still having trouble catching up to heat, and low and away pitches are getting him, and you know, that's life in the big league. So I'm not sure where he goes from here, but I do agree that it is time to look at Slater, and maybe we'll see Duggar before too long.
And you know, Bruce, I thought Slater did a great job last year. It's sort of the forgotten year, maybe the forgotten guy, and he goes down with that hip injury and it ended the rest of his season. I thought maybe he could have played out the rest of last season in left field.
Yeah, he does a lot of things. He's a good fielder. He can hit, and he's you know, the future is so big. You know, there's so many great players around the big leagues. You could take that half an hour to run down all of them. And the Giants are going to need to have some guys like that. And the sooner they get a look at the guys who might be that, the better.
Yeah, and what else can he do? I mean, the guy's got a 955 OPS at Sacramento. I mean, he's hitting 350, 24 doubles. You know, what more can you do at AAA to say, okay, give me a shot? I mean, he forced his way up.
He totally earned it, yeah. And, you know, it's such a difference between the two leagues. I mean, the PCL is a place to go, you know, get your hitting stroke back if you've lost it. The stats are a little off the charts, but it's still AAA ball. And, you know, you run into some good pitchers there, and those stats, you can't ignore them. It's something you have to do.
No, exactly. And, you know, if you bring up a guy who's hitting 260 or 250 in AAA, then there's trouble. But here's a guy hitting 350. So
yeah, it says everything you need to know.
Yeah, I hope they give. Well, he will get a shot. He's not in there today, but he's got to play. Bruce, Mike Trout crossed the threshold of his 1,000th game. And boy, reverberations around baseball comparing him. How good is he? Is he one of the all-time greats already? Mickey Mantle and all these different names coming up. Hank Aaron, Pete Rose. What was your take on the whole Trout situation this week?
To me, it's all legitimate. You know, the Mickey Mantle comparison sounds so absurd on the surface of it, but you know, he looks a little bit like Mantle. He's kind of got that country look about him. He hits for incredible power. If he were a switch hitter, it'd be sort of uncanny. But he runs like the wind. He makes great catches. And that was Mantle, especially before he hurt his knee. Mantle was an absolute revelation, maybe the greatest all-around player the game had ever seen. And he would have been right there with Mays, I think, in terms of that, the all-around game, if he'd been completely healthy. But Yeah, Trout, you know, all of his homers look the same. You talk about the launch angle. I mean, he's got that perfect, the compact follow through. Most of them go to left field, and there's a lot of them. But he does so many other things. And when I think about Trout, though, you know, at some point, I'm not sure, in a couple of years, I think he comes up for free agency. And it's been very frustrating for the Angels to get him into the postseason. It gets worse all the time. I mean, Houston's, it's enough to go against those guys. They're probably the best team in the game. But now Seattle has developed into at least a midseason powerhouse with all the trades they made. And the Angels are probably not going to make the postseason. So once again, he escapes the national spotlight a little bit, and you wonder, you know, does he think to himself, gee, I'd sure like to be, you know, on the Yankees or the Red Sox. I'm an East Coast guy, and next thing you know, the Angels don't have him.
Well, you mentioned it there. He's got more top five MVP finishes than he does playoff games played or something like that. Like, it's insane.
Exactly.
And he gets these comparisons to Bryce Harper, probably because of age and because of their, I mean, first All-Star game together in 2012. I really, as high a ceiling as Harper has, I don't think the comparison's even there right now.
Well, it isn't. I mean, Harper's down in the low 200s. He's being completely baffled by low and away pitches. He's just kind of lost. And I don't think Trout has ever looked that way. I wouldn't put it past Harper to get back in that argument. But, I mean, Trout runs better. He's a better outfielder. He has a better arm. He's a better pure hitter. And, you know, right now he's a better power hitter. So there aren't too many other categories you can think of there.
Yeah, he's 5-tool. He's 5-tool, absolutely. You mentioned the Mariners early as a powerhouse. A funny story came up this week. Scott Service had mentioned on an interview, a radio interview locally up there, that he thought maybe Ichiro should get put in the home run derby, which kind of got me thinking, maybe we should do this with other guys who have just retired, and we hear Bonds could still go out and hit. Why don't they do some kind of old-timers home run derby and All-Star Weekend?
You know, that would be hilarious. There's so much talk of, you know, angst about, oh God, don't put him in there. He'll screw up his swing. He'll be wrecked for a month, and which has happened, but it's still kind of a bogus argument for my money. But if you do that, if you get these old timers in there, that whole argument goes away, and it just becomes fun.
Yeah, well, they can bring Luke Appling back.
Yeah, yeah. I remember Luke Appling hitting a home run in an old-timers game. He was like 90 years old.
In Washington, you know, it's when they didn't use the stadium for baseball, I think, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
It was a very small dimension left field.
Yeah.
Luke Appling was like 90. And he popped one into left field seats.
Yeah, I would put out feelers to every guy who ever led either league in homers. Do you want to be in this thing?
There's,
you know, and see what the response is. You know, a guy like Ichiro would be perfect because he's a guy who in batting practice could turn on balls and hit five out in a row. It's just amazing for a guy who was basically, I wouldn't say a slap hitter, but a singles hitter who never really thought about home runs. That would be hilarious. Yeah, you know, Wade Boggs should get in there. He's another guy. He could rifle a few down and take the lead in the home run contest. I'm sure he'd love to do it. So.
Well, they could put Ichiro in if he wore the mustache. How about
Ichiro,
that?
He could play two or three roles.
How about that story? The guy sits in the dugout with a hoodie on, wearing the Bobby Valentine Frank fake mustache, and watches the game. How about that?
He's a nut. He's got the lampshade on his head at late in the party.
I thought it was great. The picture was just
it's hilarious.
It was outstanding.
Yeah.
Did you ever cover Greg Luzinski, the Bull? How about him?
Yeah. Well, I saw more of him than he covered. I didn't start covering till 77 or 8, really 79. And you know, when the Dodgers were playing the Phillies in those great playoff series, I was more of a spectator, but I was, you know, totally wired to it. I mean, I loved Luzinski. He was a guy, he looked like he came to fix the refrigerator or something, but you talk about a classic hitter. Keep your eye down on the ball. Beautiful hitting approach, and I'd love to watch him play. Big power for the Phillies.
Yeah, the Bull. The 2002 World Series team, and of course the pennant-winning team of the National League, the Giants team, is being honored today. Bruce, some of your reflections now. We've gone, 15, 16 years later. Well, what are your thoughts about them?
Well, I just remember how exciting that stretch drive was and how incredible Rob Nen was. I mean, incredible is a word that's overused, like you're stretching credibility, but he was basically, you know, there wasn't a single night where Dusty said, can you go? And he never said no. He was always ready to go, and as it turned out, by the very end, the bitter end, in the World Series, he didn't have a lot left, and that's a source of eternal regret. But I mean, I don't think they wouldn't have done it any other way. When you got a guy like that, that's just the way it is. If he's ready to go and it's a huge game, you use him. And you know, I remember how how disturbingly weak the Giants bench was. Like Shinjo was their big pinch hitter. They had one of the worst.
Tom Goodwin. Yeah.
The worst benches in the history of the world, maybe the worst in the history of National League World Series teams. But more than anything, I remember by the late innings of Game 6, Bonds and Kent had won the title. It was over. They won the title. They did what they had to do. The Giants win the title. We're all writing our stories in the press box. You know, Bonds and Kent, for all the acrimony and the talk about them, they did it. They got them there. And then after Game 6, I mean, hell, then you got John Lackey, and it gets all crazy, and maybe they weren't meant to win. But, you know, just not a lot of really bright, you know, cheery memories. But it was a fun, really fun season. Their road through the playoffs to get there was amazing and really, really exciting.
It really was an up and down, season for them. I remember Bonds went down late in June or July that year. They had Tony Torquato come up. They had to make the trade for Kenny Lofton to the outfield. And you said it, the starting pitching was okay, not elite, maybe not the rotation they should have had in the World Series. But I thought it was one of the most fun playoff runs I'd ever seen. They beat an Atlanta Braves team that was supposed to go all the way, and then Cardinals team that had lost Daryl Kyle and lost Jack Buck. So, I mean, it was an emotional season, I thought, all around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kenny Lofton's hit that won the pennant was an all-timer.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great moments ever at AT&T Park. You forget about him in Giants lore, but you know that was a massive hit. And Benito Santiago hit one of the most significant homers in the history of the Giants at
Red
that
White.
Point.
Yeah,
in that
was
series.
A great home run.
You know what?
Yeah.
I remember after David Bell slid across home plate and they won the game, and I went in the clubhouse. And it looked like everybody in San Francisco was in the clubhouse. It was incredible. Yeah. I've never seen so many people in a clubhouse before.
I remember going to the party they had just outside the park, the post-game party for the media and all kind of dignitaries. It was way more than the media. There were like 1,000 people in there. But the feeling in there, just the walking from the park to there, and the feeling inside there was so special because, you know, the Giants in the World Series, you know, that's just... At that time, it was such a special thing, and it really felt like they were not going to be stopped.
Bruce, Bob Nightingale wrote a big article this week about attendance in baseball and how attendance is down because there's such a disparity. The pennant race in the National League is basically, the American League is basically over. And, you know, now we're heading into the summer when people should be excited. I don't know if you had a chance to read
Nightingale's. Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, what was your take on that?
Well, yeah, he's absolutely right about the lack of suspense in the American League. It's sort of like the Warriors. Like, when are the playoffs coming? You know, I mean, we pretty much know who's going to be there, certainly the top teams. He got into the strikeout thing a lot. And, you know, the numbers are alarming. His teams have struck out more than they have hits. But I haven't. The way I've watched games hasn't changed at all. The story I like was Grant Brisby of McCarvey Chronicles. He goes, well, you know, look at it. There's four more strikeouts per game over 3 hours. This is going to kill my interest in the game. I never think about, gee, a lot of guys are striking out, a lot of guys are walking, a lot of guys are putting the ball in play. No, I don't look at it that way. The stats say that, but guys are putting the ball in play. There's more to it than that. The game is still great. I think eventually the strikeouts will go down. I think there'll be more of a premium on situational hitting, hitting the ball to the right side, hit it up the middle. You know, don't always have a launch angle swing. You know, have some variety. Adjust to what's in front of you. Because too many guys are launch angling their way into retirement.
Yeah, well, you want to have... Leonard Coppett said this years ago, the great Hall of Fame baseball writer, smartest man I ever met around the game.
Yeah.
He said, no matter what happens, people want a story. They want a pennant race. They want a story. And maybe they're not getting the story because of the disparity. Maybe that's part of the attendance issue. But people want to come out here every day for the game, for the story. That's what he always told me.
Yeah, and I think the attendance is going to go up in the summer months. You know, the first month of the season was one of the coldest ever. I mean, who would ever want to go to almost any park during that time? You know, that's... And I think most people, you know, they're not looking at The strikeout numbers are not—they're not yearning for a pitch clock. They just like baseball. It's just something that's always been true in this country, and I think the attendance may be, you know, down in the end, but not to the point where it's like, you know, what's going on? Let's change the rules, like Rob Manfred seems to be thinking.
No, every day he must wake up and say, all right, what can I do today?
Let me think how about two strikes and you're out?
Right. Let me think of something today. He must wake up every day thinking about what he can do today to change the game.
Yeah, he's a little scary.
Yeah, just realize it's a baseball game and people like the game and
the
story.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, trying to get, you know, we'll get some more millennials in here if we change the game. No, you won't.
Nope.
You either like the pace of the game, the way you feel at the park, as opposed to the other sports, or you don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the games are suddenly 258 instead of 305.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with anything.
No, you want the story.
Yeah.
You want the story. All right, hey, have a great afternoon. What's up with you today?
A lot of World Cup to catch up on. Don't tell me what happened. I'm going to have some people over and watch the Mexico game.
Right.
Of course, the Giants are there. It's a typical weekend for me. A lot of exercise going from the couch to the refrigerator. And I should be in fine shape by the evening. Either that or incoherent. One of the two.
Very good. Well, either way, we'll look forward to talking with you tomorrow.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Thanks a million.
All right, always a pleasure.